And good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection, as we call it now, the Capitol Call, because guess what? Things are going to be back in session on Monday, and we have our cast today. John Strom is somewhere playing the Invisible Man. We've got Senator Julie Daniels and Daryl Fincher here with us today as well. So we're going to have ourselves a good time today. We're going to learn a lot of things, and we're going to get reacquainted and refreshed and everything. We've got, of course, session starting up on Monday. And first of all, if I could, Senator Daniels, with the Senate, what usually takes place on the opening day?
Well, good morning, Tom. Good morning, everybody in Bartlesville and the listening area. Good to be back at Capitol Call this year. We convene at noon on Monday, and the first thing we do is receive a resolution from the House inviting us to come to the House for the official opening of the session. And so we will go over there for a while, and then no committee meetings on Monday. Mm-hmm. It is basically ceremonial, but the Capitol will be a beehive of activity.
I bet.
And, of course, with restoration ongoing and even more complicated this year, it's going to be a cozy place for those of us who work in the building because so many spaces are closed off this year. So that's kind of how the Senate will begin on Monday.
Alrighty. And we want to thank Phillips 66 for sponsoring this program today, as we do whenever we have our Capitol Call. Daryl, with you, what goes on in the House on opening day?
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you for Phillips 66 for sponsoring this. It's exactly like Senator Daniels said, except from our side, we drop the gavel. We do have a resolution. We send the sergeants mm-hmm. over to invite the Senate over. And they actually put seats. If you look on the House floor, we're seated side by side. Mm-hmm. And they actually put a seat between each of us. So each of us get to have our very own senator who comes and sits with
Yay.
Us. And so mm-hmm. then we'll have the State of the State address, which is very important to find out what the governor's full plans are and how we're going to be heading. And after that, we're off to the races.
All right.
And I do want to say that since the Senate district covers both Senator Representative Fincher and Representative Strom and some others, I try to be an equal opportunity senator and go and sit with the different representatives from District 29.
Oh, see, I always judged whether we were on good terms or not by whether you came and sat by me or went over and sat by Representative.
I will at least come and greet you.
Okay.
Judge Strom, when you're not in Oklahoma City, certainly about, and this goes for everybody, our representatives and our senators work equally as hard, if not harder, when at home, because you're listening to a lot of people. Tell us about what's been going on between sessions.
Absolutely. This job is 365 days a year. We spend a lot of time when we're home. We were talking about being cold and flu season. We're in and out of schools. We're in and out of the county courthouses. We're in and out of the police stations, the fire stations. We're just trying to make ourselves available as possible to as many people as possible. And people always, they want to ask questions of us to see what we think, but really it's important that we get out and we ask questions. We need to kind of figure out the zeitgeist of the population around, figure out what people are thinking and what mm-hmm. we need to know what they want us to know, I suppose.
And what will your focus be after taking in all this listening?
My focus, of course, we're going to be focusing on what we can do. We have a relatively flat budget this year. Mm-hmm. I think with the total budget being up in the $20+ billion, I think we have about $9 million to flex with this year. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see what we can do to get some more money in the classroom. We're going to work on getting some funds back to our counties to be able to do their job. It's going to be an interesting year. We thought coming in last year, we thought this is going to be the biggest year ever. We had a lot of carryover from the year before. We had a lot of freshmen, and I thought this year, this is just going to be a nice, relaxing session at the Capitol. Boy, was I wrong.
Senator Daniels, you and I were talking in the green room about money and what have you. We do have the budget is looking actually pretty good. This is kind of a good new normal.
Well, that's right. We need to remember that last year was a record budget.
Yes.
And while the economy may be slowing some, we're not in the 16, 17, 18 years. So mm-hmm. you will still be dealing with the second fiscal year of a record amount of money, plus, as Representative Strom said, a few million dollars mm-hmm. extra. And so I think we should be grateful that Oklahoma is still in this position, mm-hmm. and I look forward to there not being so many budget fights, because we did address some things last year. For instance, we're now making our statutory top investment each year in transportation. It took us a number of years to get to that point, but we're now making several hundred million dollars in statute each year to transportation, so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We continue to work on those deficient bridges. We've risen to now be like 13th in the nation in numbers of deficient bridges, where we were down there in the, you know, at the very bottom. So there's lots of good news out there, so I don't see this as being a difficult year. We've got a great governor wants to go after government reform. I know I've got some bills dealing with that, so he's going to still be in reform mode. So I don't see it being sit down and say, oh, it's election year and we're all just going to, you know, tread water mm-hmm. until we get to election day. No, that's not going to happen this year.
You racked up a couple of awards between sessions, and that was a pretty nice. Also a lot of recognitions, too. But you were telling us also a few months ago that you're going to be working a little bit more on education as well as working with the business community as well, if I understood correctly.
Well, I don't have any specific education bills. Mm-hmm. We meet regularly with the school mm-hmm. district here in Bartlesville, and I'm in touch with the other districts.
Yes.
So, and I'm not on the education committee, so I can't speak to those mm-hmm. Specifics. My main focus, being the chairman of judiciary, will be judicial reform. And most of the bills that I'm authoring this year go to the judiciary committee. So that's where my focus is.
When it comes to judicial reforms, we had a few this past go-around. But what are we looking forward to now as we move forward into this session?
Well, I won't go into detail on them today, but I'll highlight one.
Okay.
We passed one last year to change the judicial boundaries from which we take applicants for the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And we broadened that to create four at-large positions and tie the other boundaries to our congressional districts, mm-hmm. giving more people an opportunity to apply to serve on the Supreme Court. That was not going to go into effect until January of next year. That was a negotiated deal. Mm-hmm. But I'm suggesting this year that we make that retroactive to start now, so that if anybody retires from the bench, you know, after we pass the bill, hopefully very mm-hmm. early in session, we can go ahead and apply those new boundaries mm-hmm. to future applicants and nominees to the Supreme Court.
Very good. Representing District 11 is Daryl Fincher. And Daryl, we were talking with you about a few things that have to do with food and who makes it and everything else, because it seems sometimes we get a little lost in the red tape of things, and sometimes common sense takes a vacation, but you're working on a couple of bills in that direction.
I'm working on a bill on home-produced foods. Right now, it's the Home Baking Act, and you can do some, but you have to sell directly to whoever buys it, which is why the farmer's market works. The problems we've run into, and I had this with a constituent, and I realized it's a statewide problem as I started talking to other representatives and senators and talking to store owners throughout the state, that there are really other opportunities out there to still maintain safety, because we're very concerned about safety, and also allow people to produce more and various types of foods to go out there. And mm-hmm. so we expect to see that to move through the legislature this year.
Mm-hmm. You've also been working on virtual schools, too.
Virtual schools, yes. We, as people know, we actually have virtual schools, what are called statewide virtual charter schools. We have five of them right now. Every student in Oklahoma lives within the district of all of those schools. And what we're doing is, right now, students can kind of just move back and forth between the schools and their home district at will, because it's their home district. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to make that a transfer. And by making it a transfer, it becomes an emergency transfer. And so at that point, when students move, it requires the agreement of the receiving superintendent to move. They can't just up and go to one of the other districts and say, I'm here.
One of the things that has been coming up, a kind of man on the street thing, and this is very man on the street, why don't we get rid of that daylight savings time? Is there any kind of movement afoot in the legislature that might get the ball rolling on that? Because, boy, I hear a lot of grousing every time we change the clocks. Other states have been picking this up, by the way, too.
I think I've seen this bill come over as a rollover from last year that didn't gain a lot of traction. people either don't want it, or I think we went the wrong direction with getting rid of daylight savings time. I think people actually like the savings time mm-hmm. better, uh-huh. which would be the other direction
okay.
that you could go. So this, again, this was something that didn't make it to the floor last year because it didn't gain a lot of traction, but so it's rolled over to this session. Mm-hmm. And we're dealing with it again. I think that's been one of the most heated topics that's come around, I think.
It's interesting, the bills that get attention.
You're right on that.
A lot of the ones that are most substantive, they're not an easy soundbite. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, we all have an opinion about daylight savings time. I don't know what my colleagues here would say. I'm not going to even put forth what I believe at this point. If called upon to vote, I will vote. And literally, the information that comes from constituents on the issue is very even. So you would have to make a judgment. You know, which side do I personally fall on? Mm-hmm. But they also talk a lot about how many bills are filed. Sure. And we've gone over before. I filed my first bill back in July, and I've already pulled it because I had so many other ideas and issues come to me. I decided that one mm-hmm. wasn't so timely that it needed to happen this year. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these things, they won't be heard in committee. I will be starting Sunday night reviewing the bills assigned to the Senate Judiciary Committee, mm-hmm. deciding which ones will and won't be heard. So some won't be heard, some will be pulled, some will go through committee, and then they'll reach a snag and they'll say, let's pull back and try that next year because we can't come to agreement with the stakeholders. And this is all good. This is the way the representative government that we have is supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think maybe people don't appreciate, because they just don't know, how much time this job takes for my fellow representatives and me, just the thought process. Yeah. Sitting in your office and reading and go, okay, this or that, and this person said that, and it's coming up on the calendar, and, you know, you've got to pull the lever one way or the other. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of thinking that goes on.
Passing new statutes is not supposed to be easy, and it's actually very difficult because you have to get so many people on board, so... Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, too, you have a lot of ideas coming in from all over the state that sound great at the coffee shop in Tallahena, Oklahoma. And then you put it on paper and you bring it in. You have to back up and look at that and say, is this really what we need for the entire state? Can this not be taken care of in Tallahena, Oklahoma, rather than blanket the whole state with this law?
You're listening to Capital Call, but brought to you by Phillips 66. Senator Daly, what do you got coming up? What are the things are you going to be pressing as we get ready to get underway? You got some bills in the hopper?
Yes, I've got about 30 bills this year.
Holy moly.
A couple of energy bills, a bill that has to do with resentencing, another bill that has to do with fines and fees. You know, one's kind of coming from the law enforcement side and the other from the criminal justice reform side. So a variety of things. I wanted to bring up, because I listened to your interview earlier this morning about the governor's prayer breakfast.
Yes.
On February 18.
Yes.
Now, I've accepted invitation to go. Are we all going? And so most of the representatives and senators, I think, will be there. But I know Bartlesville is going to have its own. Mm-hmm. And I applaud Deb Cook for putting that together. So literally, we will all be, you know, at the prayer breakfast together in different parts of the state. And really looking forward to that. Appreciate the governor doing something new like that. And just on a personal level, he's going to reintroduce again this year his breakfast with legislators. And I'll be having breakfast at the governor's mansion next Wednesday, about five or six, a mixture of senators and representatives. And I know I've already got a couple of questions I want to ask him, as well as talk about a couple of the regulatory reform bills I have that sort of fit in with his agenda. So it's really nice that he's taking the time to have those breakfasts where you can have, I mean, it's not just chat. There's a little tiny bit of socializing in front of the fireplace. You sit down, they put the food in front of you, and bammo, he starts. So it is definitely a working breakfast, isn't it, gentlemen?
Yes, very much is.
And, Judd, what do you have coming up here in this session?
I think probably my most pressing bills, I think I have, I'm trying to push for some transparency in medical billing, trying to keep people from coming up with unexpected fees that come later that are unrecognized. That people have tried to maybe push it off as spam in their email or something rather, and so we're trying to make sure that they know that that is a medical bill that they do have to pay there to keep them from getting into trouble with their credit. As well, I'm going to again bring up a bill that would be a tax benefit to vendors and sellers that pay their sales tax on time or early. I think that's something that is great for our small businesses, and I want to, well, anywhere I can cut taxes, really, I'm going to work on that. So I'm going to really push that again. And then I have a couple of alcohol bills, alcohol modernization. When Representative McIntyre moved over to work on health care, I kind of took up some slack in the alcohol modernization. And so we're going to have a couple of bills there that push tastings and then some of our distillers to be able to sell their own product on site.
Daryl, what else do you have going on? I'm sorry. go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, so we'll continue working. I'm also carrying some bills from the Senate that are coming in. They also work with the virtual schools because we have a lot of work to do with those. I am on the higher ed, and so we're going to start hearings in higher ed for how we're going to be moving forward. I'll also be attending more of the board meetings for the Board of Regents because that's part of our oversight. Board of Regents in the areas that we oversee the Department of Libraries. To actually go to the board meetings, go into the closed sessions because we have that authority as lawmakers to do that, to find out what's actually going on, assure that they're following the law for a closed session.
I want to go back to Senator Daniels, but first I want to thank Phillip 66 for bringing us this broadcast today. Senator Daniels?
Well, thank you. Representative Strom brought up his medical billing bill, and I do have a similar sort of thing. And I know we're going to have pushback on it, but it's time to start helping the consumers of medical services in what sometimes is a very difficult relationship with the medical providers. And this has to do with bills that you owe and haven't paid being reported to credit bureaus and affecting your credit score. And sometimes people do not know the extent of those bills, meaning not bills like legislative bills, but money owing. And so I want to make sure that the healthcare providers, all genres of, are not allowed to report those monies owed until the customer has a clear itemized list of everything that they owe. We make an exception for extenuating circumstances. You go in for a surgical procedure. Here's exactly what you're going to pay and to whom and how much. And then something happens while the surgery is ongoing and extra things have to be done. And I know it's going to need a lot of work. It may be something that takes some time to accomplish, but consumers need more, I think, power in their attempt to deal with healthcare providers and the billing situation. So I'm going to be spearheading that one.
All right. Our time is upon us here. We have to draw it to a close. I want to thank you for being here with us here with Capital Call, brought to you by Phillip 66. Again, hope to see you all next week. Schedules, of course, notwithstanding. Again, thank you once again, and thanks for listening. Right now, it's 9:47, and thank you, Phillip 66, for sponsoring our program.
A lot happens over the course of a tank of gas. Mad dashes to the pharmacy, hours spent in the school drop-off line, and 7 trips to the grocery store. Wait, I forgot the ice cream. Make that 8. But a tank of gas doesn't just fuel errands. It tells a story. One that could begin at the dry cleaners and end at a hidden sloppy Joe joint. Then right back to the cleaners. Because it's not just about filling up the tank. It's about where that tank will take you next. Phillips 66. Live to the full.